Hello, and welcome to the Games Life Podcast, episode 84. I'm Purtis.
I'm Assimilator.
I'm Zelda Queen.
And we have special guest, Care Bear. Say hi, Care Bear.
Hi.
And we went to Nandescon.
Is it Nandescon or Nandesukon?
Nandescon.
It's yes. If you're pronouncing it in the actual Japanese fashion, it is des.
Okay.
You kind of don't. The U at the end is just kind of a slight inflection, I guess.
It's kind of like the T in French words. Kind of silent, maybe?
Ish.
Anywho, point is we went. And it was a lot of fun this year. I think I enjoyed it more than I did last year's con. But it seems like there was more to do this year. It seems like the panels were more interesting this year than they were in the past few years. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there were a lot more interesting voice actors there this time.
It was really nice to see that they were all excited to be there, too.
Yeah, that was probably the funniest thing, is at the opening ceremonies watching
Patrick Seitz come up with the big sombrero.
No.
Michael
Cinturniklaus.
Cinturniklaus, or whatever?
Yeah. Just taking photos and being like, as all the other guests were being introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know, he plays Dean on the Venture Brothers, and he was Leonardo the Turtle. If I have to explain that more to you, then you don't deserve.
But you gotta say it's the newer version.
It's not the old one that we grew up with.
No,
it's the newer one.
I know if you look him up, he's actually on a shitload of turtle shows.
Yeah, because he did Leonardo from like 2000 to 2007 or something, he said.
So, yeah, he's Leonardo.
But they also had a lot of other interesting panels, because a lot of the panels are actually put on by volunteers. So, there was like the... Was it the social guide, or the geek's guide to social interaction?
Which should have just been the geek's guide to dating.
Yeah, it should have just been the geek's guide to dating. But what would have made it more interesting is the lady who had it was, she had a lot of interesting things, but it was more interesting if she would have discussed her thesis, which is how anime influences people and their lives. And she actually did a whole thesis on this and found out that it seems like most people who watch anime are usually friendlier, have a more positive outlook on life,
and get better grades.
Yeah, are able to like solve some of their problems and such. So I found that really interesting, but she didn't really touch upon it very much. And it's like, oh man, you should just did a whole discussion on this, or it would have been better about discussions of like how to react more with friends and such, not necessarily how do I attract members of how do I attract a life partner.
Using anime as the catalyst?
Nice. Well, I think she was trying to just use, like, geek culture as, people who identify themselves as geeky and not being able to, integrate well with others.
Having that stereotypical antisocial geek behavior that people think geeks have, but in all reality, they don't.
I'm just shy.
Yeah, me too.
That's the biggest problem of geeks, is they're shy.
I'm mostly just shy. I'm not aloof or anything. I'm just shy.
And the issue ends up being that then, geeks tend to deeply involve themselves in their hobbies. And so when you talk to other people about them sometimes, and they don't care as much as you do about the things that you enjoy. And so you just, end up like boring them or, whatever. So
I just kind of view it like, I enjoy anime. Some people enjoy fantasy football. I don't understand most of what they're talking about when they do it, but I'll sit there and listen to them.
This is why I do like the one football betting pool I'm in, because it's simple. Pick a team you think is likely to win this week. Simple. It's not like fantasy football. You pick players that you're going to follow and their performance. And they can be players from all different teams. And so it's just like their performance in whatever game that they play is like kind of totals up to kind of your score for the week.
And there's a draft, and you can only accept certain players. If somebody else already has that player, if you're on certain things, you can't claim that player for your team.
Yeah.
It's like D&D for jocks.
Yeah.
They all thought we were the nerds.
Yeah, and they call us nerds. Nerd. It's like, really? You're calling me the nerd? You're the one that's looking at specific statistics for each and every player, and you're calling me the nerd?
You've mapped out your entire team for the whole season? Really? We need to reevaluate this.
A small fire demon ran off, and Proteus had to go chase him.
He took off with something.
He had a fuzzy of some sort.
He likes to eat, yeah. Our cutie likes to eat fuzzies.
Anywho, so yeah, that was an interesting panel, but I kind of viewed it as one of the more ones I'm like, this was interesting, but for me, it was kind of okay because there was one reference where she said geeks, you know, have a tendency to sometimes having a hard time finding, you know, life members. And then me and Produce are both like, wedding rings.
I think it's different because we are slightly on the older demographic. We're not in the average age, which is usually between 15 to 18.
Yeah, that makes me sad.
Yeah, so it makes us a little bit more interesting going to these things. It's like, yeah, we actually don't just have boyfriends and girlfriends. We're actually married.
Yep.
We're couples. Lifelong couples. So it makes it a little bit more interesting. What else would you see? Evolution of the Magical Girl. Which I
which you guys went and saw. Meanwhile, I was at the Lolita dress-up battle.
Yeah.
Which I will just go through this really quick. I always forget that there are subgenres of Lolita besides Gothic. And yeah, I was like disappointed because was it Sweet Lolita was the kind of in thing at the panel.
Yeah, I noticed that in the Jaywalking Fashion Show too. It was like a lot of Sweet Lolita and
which is like
other cute things. And I'm like,
yeah, it was just like hyper cute kind of basically Lolita. It's like
pastels, yo, and white lace,
candy motifs actually do occur in a lot of the clothing.
I did think one of the girls had a really cool wig. It was like half purple, half pink. I thought it was really cool.
Was it that a black woman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, she was one of the panelists that like led the Lolita thing.
Her wig was really cool. I liked the colors.
Yeah, but Evolution of the Magical Girl. At least the girls who headed the panel actually did some research, and they've actually watched a lot of these animes as well, so they had a lot of informative information, sort of what their take on things was, which I had to, you know, agree with most of the things of what is a magical girl, at least in the more modern sense now.
Mm. There was one guy, he kept wanting to fight them every minute, he kept trying to pull up obscure animes to try and stump them, like, oh yeah, I've heard of that one, I've seen parts of it, and it doesn't fall for these cat reasons. Sure it does. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, they seemed to really know what they were talking about, which was really nice for a panel, because there was a couple other ones that I heard this weekend, like the Geek's Guide, that weren't really done so well.
Like, what was the one that we kept hearing? Oh, the anime girl fight, where basically it's like, you know, all those versus things, like, if Superman and Batman got in a fight, who would win? And
Batman.
Does Batman have time to prepare is always the argument.
Batman would already be prepared.
Batman is prepared for the Superman fight because he had the plan to take down every member of the Justice League in case something happened.
Exactly.
Or taken over by an alien parasite in your brain or whatever.
There's a reason he has the utility bait. He keeps kryptonite on him at all times.
And he's a little OCD anyway.
Yeah. So those sort of things. And some people are like,
the funny ones are when you, like, cross genres. So you say, like, you know, like, Gandalf versus Green Lantern. Mm. One is limited by the power of his thought and his will. The other is a minor deity.
Yeah, but apparently some of the panelists that were heading it didn't know certain characters or knew what certain characters could do. And that kind of just detracts from, you know, you have to have some sort of authority. You have to have some sort of base. And if you don't do your research and know what you're talking about, it kind of makes you look like you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, wasn't the people that running it, aren't they the Robotech creators?
I don't know.
One of them was, yeah.
So they know they're giant robots, but not their magical girls.
Which is, you would think nerds would kind of follow girls, since everybody likes girls, apparently.
But anywho, overall, the magical girl panel is really interesting, and through it, didn't you get to figure out that Ichigo's a magical boy?
Yes.
Oh, no, that was my theory or whatever.
After I explained the magical, okay, magical, modern magical girl rules is, number one, it's the girl starts out as being an ordinary girl. There's nothing super extraordinary about her. Pretty basic. She encounters, she usually will gain magical powers either through somebody giving her them or giving her an object that activates her magical powers. So, like, we'll use just Sailor Moon, since she's, like, the quintessential modern magical girl. She's pretty ordinary until Luna comes and says, you're going to Sailor Moon, you'd be Sailor Moon, here's your moon locket that lets you transform. She has to keep it a secret. She can't go blabbing to everybody that she is Sailor Moon. There will be consequences to herself and her family and such. But with the new modern magical girl, she has friends that actually join her in battle who can share the secret with her so she's not totally, completely alone.
Not isolated in the world.
Yes.
Did you already mention the transformation, too?
Haven't mentioned that one yet. Not only does she get a magical item that lets her transform, but it's the whole transformation sequence is important. So her getting her Henshin on is needed. And there has to be a common goal she is working towards. And like the first one, it's mostly like, stop this, which ends up being save the world, or save yourself, save your daughter from the future, save your timeline.
There's usually a constant enemy that they're fighting during all this.
Yeah, it's not just be pretty for this party or something like that. And the other thing that I don't think is quite as necessary, but is kind of more of the modern thing, is the mascot. Whether they be annoying or cute, and or annoying and cute. Annoyingly cute. Cutely annoying.
Mm-hmm.
That brings up something else that I'll talk to about after this.
Yes. So, but anyways, we were having this discussion. And
so, Ichigo is pretty much an ordinary high school guy. He gets special powers. He has to transform. He has to leave his body.
And his powers are bestowed upon, at least he has maybe the innate ability, but they come to fruition when,
like, from being bestowed on him, basically. Yeah. From being when the temporary soul reaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what else was there?
He can't tell anybody.
Can't tell anybody. He has his friends who help him out, you know, Chad and Orihime, and,
Uryu.
And then there is the annoying mascot,
Cone.
Cone, oh my god.
So yeah, Ichigo is a magical boy.
Yep.
So anyways, but they were, what Zelda Queen was going on about the annoying mascot kind of brings up the thing that, Proteus and Assimilator and I went to the night before, which was the laws of anime. That was done really well, except she didn't give herself, she gave herself too much stuff for not a lot of time. So, and one of the things that she brought up was, like, the 10 laws were, the 10th one was, your first kiss never goes as planned, which, that happens anywhere. It doesn't just happen in the anime world. It happens everywhere. And then the annoying mascot never dies. That was somewhere down on the list, too. The best one I thought, what was the first one? Number one?
Oh, any character that you believe to be a boy will be a girl and vice versa.
My example for this is when you first look at pictures of Ed from Fullmetal Alchemist, you see the braid, the long braid. You think, oh, that's a cute girl. You come to find out, it's a guy.
Well, it doesn't help that you go to a con and you see all the people dressed as Ed and they're all in the girls.
I don't think I've ever seen a guy dressed as Ed.
I've seen a couple last year.
One or two.
It got better this year with the guys cosplaying as guys. Like, I've seen several Black Butler characters, which was Sebastian and CL, which are the two title characters of the show. A lot of times, Sebastian actually was a guy, because it was a couple. CL is also supposed to be a guy, it's a boy, but most of the people are playing him as a part where he actually cross-dresses in the anime. He doesn't want to do it, but they're looking for a person who's basically been kidnapping young girls, and they've been being sold into the black market. And so CL, since he's young, kind of still looks girlish, so they dress him up as a girl.
So
poor dude.
Yeah.
Made him bait,
pretty
much.
Basically made him bait to catch it. Well, they didn't catch the person they were wanting, but they did find somebody else.
Nice.
Even poor Holy Rome was fooled.
Yeah, because we did see a lot of Chibi-talias.
Yeah, there's a lot of Chibi-talias.
I think there was a couple. We did see an Alphonse who was in the armor.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it was a guy. Pretty sure. But it's hard to tell. A lot
he
of
was
time
in the armor.
And didn't speak, so.
Yeah.
Let's see. The AMV Awards. Again, the comedy ones disappoint me.
The AMVs, you mean? Not just the awards?
Sorry, the AMV Awards.
No.
The AMV Contest.
Yeah, the AMV Contest. Anywho. long story short here. beyond my attempts, inability to properly pronunciate. I was kind of disappointed in the comedy ones again this year. The rest seemed really seemed like they were really well done, but the comedy ones just seemed like they were kind of forced. Or am I the only one that felt that?
I'm always so conflicted anymore when I go to the AMVs. AMVs have gotten spectacular video editing-wise and seeing the stuff. Stuff is clean, stuff is polished, stuff has great effects.
People are no longer using, you know, VHS with the subtitles on it.
Going on, and you're wondering, where in the heck did you get this sort of thing? But on the flip side, I feel sometimes some of them are not as story-driven as they used to be, or just sort of theme-driven, like, I'm going to pick this theme, and that's what's going to be throughout. A lot of them did that, but then there's some of them that I just, like, I don't want to see this anymore. I feel like my eyes are going to, I just hurt.
Like that stupid hamster one?
The hamster one was weird. It was the comedy.
It's just sort of like the non sequitur
thing. It was like, where did this come from? It came out like totally from left field. Some people, that sort of humor, they're going to find great. It's not in my camp. So I didn't find it that particularly appealing. It was well done, but I don't find it appealing. It's like, to me, I didn't like the second in the category X, which was the one that had all the different people doing like sort of the fighting poses, but it was basically going through the color spectrum from red to purple to blue to green to yellow to orange to red to purple, blue to green, and with flashes and having the white areas really blown out and bright and just really quick successions of clips with heavy metal. I don't like those types of videos. They're hard to follow for me, and after a while, I just start getting a headache because of the flashing lights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think this year, the drama category was a little bit stronger. And
usually the weakest one.
Yeah, drama usually sometimes, yeah, at least for NDK, is usually one of the weakest categories. This year, they actually had some strong showings.
Am I the only one that thought that the
Clannad?
Clannad one made it look like the most depressing series
yes,
ever?
Yes, I'm like, it's supposed to be a romantic comedy, and it actually follows the characters after they get out of high school, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is like really serious, and I don't know if I want to watch this anime, because I might bawl my eyes out.
But it did win.
Yeah, it did win. It's available on streaming if you guys have Netflix.
It's on our, the Clannad's available on streaming, and we have the video in our AMV winners page.
Yeah. Though, in retrospect, I should have voted for the one that did win the action category. I was torn between it and the one I did vote for.
Which one did you vote for?
I vote for the Gurren Lagann one.
I voted for Gurren Lagann too. It was three votes. It was a tough choice between the two.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, I just recently rewatched Samurai Champloo. I guess I didn't like the song quite as well, but after watching it again as like the revisit at the AMV Awards, I'm like, yeah, I should have voted for this one after seeing it for a second time. Because sometimes when you're there, sometimes you just feel overwhelmed.
And it could be the fact that the Gurren Lagann one might have spoken to us a bit more since we'd seen it more recently than...
Well, no, we'd seen Samurai Champloo more recently.
Oh, really?
We just watched it again this year.
Okay, I'd seen Gurren Lagann more recently than I'd seen Samurai
Champloo. We finished it like...
Have you watched Samurai Champloo?
Yeah, the entire thing. With you, I think.
I watched it by myself. You didn't watch it with me.
Well, I thought I watched it with you.
I watched it with my friend, Lady Recluse.
Yeah. See, and, like, when I watch the MVs, one of my issues is that typically the music that's picked for them is not the music I enjoy listening to, generally speaking.
There is that issue.
Or generally the song that you would pick to go with those anime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do kind of miss the story-driven AMVs that used to happen more.
And I think that was more of a product of limited editing technology and what people can do, especially when you had to rip stuff from VHS. That's not an easy process.
No.
But now, with streaming and DVDs and everything, you just stick it in, whoop, there, I have clean, crisp, clear pictures I can do stuff with.
And then they get the Adobe video editing software. And it's like, and now I have easy access to all these awesome techniques. Although still, sometimes I look at this like, how the heck did they get the character? I don't know anything about the techniques. I'm like, how did they pull the character out of that scene in order to move the background?
Yeah, that's one thing I really admired about the winner in the action category that used Samurai Champloo is basically in certain sequences in the anime, they were basically able to isolate either Mugen or Jin and basically sort of speed up the background as if it's going by. Or scratching it, sort of like making it go back and forth as if it was on a record.
Yeah, which actually works real well for that specific series.
Yeah.
It does, yeah.
Because it's very high energy driven. I after rewatching it, I was like, I remember why I like this anime now. The action sequences are nice, crisp, and clean.
Easy to follow what's going on, typically.
Yeah, mm-hmm. easy to follow what's going on, and they look nice to watch. So seeing that was really cool, because I'm like, that's after rewatching again, I'm like, man, I should have picked this one. But at least the one that I liked the most actually did win, what, Category X?
Best in Show,
and Editor's Choice.
Yeah, the one by Pencilhead. Which, have you guys tried to go to that guy's website?
No.
It is a pain in the ass to get through that guy's website. Because he has you do tests to get to each level.
What?
Yeah. I gave up on the second one when I just tried to click enter the special word, and it basically gives you a crossword puzzle type thing, but with no hints. So I'm like, I don't know. Please tell me this video is on YouTube. Yes. Thank you. Good night.
That was a really good video. I didn't end up going to the AMVs because, honestly, it is overwhelming and to sit there for 3 hours. Plus, there was some other stuff I really wanted to see this year.
It's starting to become the problem. Is a lot of before, when I remember going to the con, you only hit up certain things. You hit up the AMVs sometimes. You hit up the costume contest. You didn't go to a lot of the other panels because, quite frankly, they weren't very interesting, and sometimes they weren't led, and some people didn't know what they're doing. Now, there's a lot more people that know what they're doing, and they have a lot more panels, but they always concur on different things, and you're like, what do I want to miss and catch?
They've been doing this for 15 years, so people have some practice at it now. Because yeah. A lot of times it's the same people or people that have gone to IndieK and seen other panels that are now putting on these panels.
Like the insane counting contest.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad they changed it from what was, I'm going to assume, be panties to bladed edges and...
Prinnies.
Yeah, bladed edges in
Prinnies.
What was it, Chaos Eater?
Soul Eater.
Yeah, bladed, basically bladed weapons in Soul Eater and prinnies in...
Disgaea.
There was 1,300 something, was it?
1,526. And the girl who won was off by one.
Thought she was off by three.
No.
Oh, no, it was the Bladed Edges that was off by three.
Yeah, the Bladed Edge person was off by, like, three or something, and the girl who counted prinnies was off by one. I've never seen people that close before.
And it's normally when they do this, it's like, the prinnies typically would have fallen into the rule of 20. They got rid of this rule this year, which means if there was more than 20 on the screen, you keep counting.
Good luck.
Oh, my God. I couldn't do that. I had a hard time when they did the rule of 20.
They made it kind of easier because they said it only counts if you can see a leg, an eye, or a beak. So if you couldn't see that and it was just a blue blob in the distance, it didn't count.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But I had some that I had like 300 on and I brought them down to 100. I'm like, oh, if I had left those, I'd have been like a lot closer.
When was that?
It was during the costume contest.
You were in the costume contest.
Okay.
See,
the costume contest.
That's my issue with the costume contest is we sat in the AMVs for 3 hours. The costume contest is like 4.5.
No, it was 3 hours.
It was only three?
Yeah, it was only three. The only problem with it is while they're tallying the votes, you have intermission, so you're sitting in the room for like an hour or so waiting for them to count and decide the best costume.
So they used to do, at least when the last time I went, which was several years ago, they'd do the costume contest, collect everybody's vote, and while they were counting the votes, then they would do the cosplay skits.
That makes it so much easier.
That way, you can see the cosplay skits, which usually take a little bit of time, because they have like a 5 to 10 minute time frame. I forget what the rule is now. And that way, the people can be back there furiously counting votes while something else is going on. Because yeah, otherwise you're just, say, well hello neighbor, I'm so-and-so. What brings you to IndieK?
Yeah. That was really nice. Like, I'm sat by really nice people, and there was a lot of really cool costumes, but that intermission just killed me. I'm like, I really want to go out of here because I'm cold and I'm tired, and yeah.
Okay, so highlights for funniest or best moments at the con. I'm thinking the Pangalactic Inquisitor at the,
Is it Pangalactic or Intergalactic?
I thought it was Pangalactic Inquisitor. That could be mistaken.
He's the Galactic Grand Inquisitor.
We just called the Grand Inquisitor.
Yeah, anywho,
I like that.
He was from Venture Brothers, which was really entertaining since he was at Michael Syntikalis's panel. Because he played Dean in Venture Brothers. So if you have never seen the Venture Brothers thing, the Galactic Inquisitor stands about 7 feet tall and just, you know, looms over people saying, "Ignore me!"
in a very loud, like, buzzing loudspeaker voice.
Which this guy actually had when he was in full costume, because he had a intercom system set up in his costume, so it would come out his chest.
That was entertaining. I really liked that.
It's like right when I first saw it, it's like, all these people are not ignoring me. Can I not ignore you for a few minutes? Sure. Click. I'm going to have to go for the hot seat with Todd Habercorn and Leia Clark. Leia Clark. I can't divulge anything about this panel because it was 18+, but it was freaking hilarious.
Makes me kind of want to go next year if they're back. I'm just sad I missed the late night show because I felt so bad.
Yeah. Those guys actually are really awesome too. It was done by the same people that did the anime dating game. And so after it was done, I actually got to talk with one of the hosts actually at length. And he was saying, it's like, yeah, we actually invented this game.
With his epic mustache.
Okay. I'll get to that in a minute. But he was talking about how they actually invented the game. And initially they made it kind of like, you know, a standard dating game. You had one person of the opposite sex with three other people. And, you know, it's like three people would act it out. Then the person who can only hear things they can't see would choose. Well, they changed it so you have three of each sex on each side. Each three are asked questions. They do it in order to involve more of the group. He said the reason they did that was they find it more fun to involve more people at a time because then you get more energy out of the group, which I can agree with completely. And he was also saying, he was comparing, you know, like people will sometimes say our convention is relatively small and dinky. But then they're like, you know, we love how we're treated here. They were talking about a convention they went to before ours, where instead of being put in Artist Alley with the rest of the people that sell similar wares, they were put in a little corner in the video game room. And they sold like one tie an hour or something like that.
Did this happen to be in Miami?
Possibly.
Because I have a story about that too.
Anywho, so he was saying here, it's like, yeah, we brought a bunch of ties. They expected to sell about 2 to 3 an hour, so they brought enough to do that through the rest of the convention. In the first hour, they sold 7, and they were sold out of ties by 4 o'clock on Saturday. I'm like, well, that's awesome that you sold out of your product. He's like, yeah, we love selling out of product, but if we had brought more, we could have sold more.
Yeah. Well, I at least heard good things about from Artist Alley, because I do have a friend who gets a booth. She's been getting a booth quite frequently now at Artist Alley, and the artists in general are saying they actually had a really good year this year. That their sales actually at least covered or exceeded what they were expecting, which is encouraging to hear.
And they had a flow of there now. They actually had arrows on the floor to direct people, okay, we want you going this way through here in order to maintain flow within here.
Which is good, too, because then there wasn't a lot of people trying to cut across Artist Alley as well to get to the other side. Because sometimes you want to do that. But that's just because the hallway path that's near it to get to the main event center is really small. But yeah. People are there for lunch and lining up for the next panel, and people are trying to get to another panel room, and there's people exiting the other panel, and after a while you're just like, let me out of this space.
Yeah, it takes a good, like, if the main event's room fills up, it will take half an hour for it to empty.
Feels that way. It probably is quicker, but it feels that way.
But
I'm pretty sure it's about a half an hour.
So the mustache story. We're waiting for the dating game show to start, and the dude has a handlebar mustache, and he'll say it's a nice, you know, little goatee going too. So he's like, nice mustache. I was like, yeah, I have it on loan. It's currently dating my beard. And my first thought was, what are you, an episode of The Tick? Apparently it was the first person all day to get that reference.
How do you not know that episode of The Tick? It's hilarious.
I don't know.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry, I never watched The Tick when it was on television because I wasn't allowed. Aww. Well, at the time, it was a little bit, I think, too racy for me and my brother. And my parents were kind of like, They're like, maybe when you get a little older.
That does kind of cross some paths.
I don't know, I thought The Tick would have been fine.
There are only a few episodes I really remember of that anymore. I remember the first one where he's like, would you like me to suck your blood? And he has a straw, and I was like,
yeah, see, that kind of stuff where you don't really want your...
And what else is there? The alien from Dimension 2B that made the, like, mucus clone of The Tick?
I remember that,
that
one.
That was funny.
There was the episode where he lost the little things on top of his head and he couldn't stand or walk anymore.
His antennas?
Yeah. Somebody stole his antennas.
I don't remember that episode.
And I never really saw any, so I have no idea. I'm sorry.
And then there was the enemy, the villain, Chairhead, with a head of a chair.
Yeah.
Wasn't there someone that was the head of the much-feared Ottoman Empire that was, like, trying to steal the world's most comfortable chair?
Something like that. The things they did in that show was ridiculous.
Oh, and there was, like, Leonardo da Vinci and his, like, Renaissance, you know, I can't remember, like, sidekicks of some sort.
I think we're going to have to get The Tick and have a marathon or something.
Yeah. There's only, like, one season or so.
Two, I think.
There's two.
Because,
The Santa episode. Oh, God.
The Anime Depot had the Tick versus Season 2.
Must not punch Santa. Noogies!
Anywho,
But you got the reference. Hooray!
Yes, I was the only person that got the reference, apparently. And that was actually a funny episode, because the Tick wakes up with a mustache all of a sudden. And he finds out it's an American mustache that was scientifically made to be alive. And it was looking to and it was put a personals ad for RB, or Russian Beard. So at the end of the episode, the American mustache attaches itself to the guy with the Russian beard, and they go off and they live happily ever after. Together
all
as a couple.
All they were trying to do was just find each other because they were in love.
These girls with slingshot and Pedro's wandering beard make so much more sense now.
Yeah. What are some of the other
con
things?
Moments? I can't think of a particular con moment right now. Let's I'm like, see. Yeah. There's my thought.
Lines were at a premium this year. Every single panel had a line for it this year. While the rooms didn't necessarily always fill up, a lot of them came real close to it. Especially on Saturday, there were some people that waited an hour to 2 hours for a panel.
It's crazy.
Mostly it was the voice actor panels that most people were waiting for, which is hard because at least this year, they had a lot of voice actors. I'm talking, I think I counted.
Like 16?
There's like 14, I think, 14 or 15. 14 or 15 domestic voice actors or people in the business here, plus like two Japanese.
Yeah. And the guy from the consulate.
Oh, yeah, the guy from the consulate. Yeah, they had a lot of guests. Like, I remember in the case before, you're like, we have 3 guests! Hooray!
And then they had the voice actor panels, like, in main events to do it all, and that was awesome. I kind of wish they would go back to that, because I really like seeing that.
Yeah, me, I do like having the voice actor panels in the main events, just because there's more seating.
Yeah.
But then they run into the problem, it's like, well, what do you have where? Because they did move the video game rooms into the old restaurant area that was at the hotel at the Marriott, which helped. Because the room the video game people were in was one of the actual larger
meeting rooms
compared to a lot of the other ones, and that's where they did a lot of the voice actor panels there, so we ended up living in that room for quite a while.
We did end up in that room often, didn't we? Because that was where the Michael Sinicales one was. I think that's where the Geek's Guide to Social Interaction was, and it's where the voice actor panel with Patrick Seitz, Tony Oliver, and I forgot the other chick's name, something Elizabeth?
Mary
Elizabeth. Something.
I can't remember the last name. And then we went back again for the one that had Michael.
Michael Sinicales again.
Todd.
Habercorn.
Stephanie.
Shia.
And Jamie. I can't see her last name ever, right?
Marche.
I think I skipped that one.
I really wanted to see that one too. Because Todd Habercorn's one of my favorite voice actors. Especially during our opening ceremonies when he came on stage and he started to mock Jeff Foxworthy. That was, like, the best.
But yeah, overall, it was a really good con, and there was a lot of good costumes this year, too.
Costumes have gotten better every year since I started going.
Yeah,
and the costume I remember getting my my first costume critique the first time I went. I went as Lena Inverse, and I did the OVA costume because it was simpler than the TV costume.
Uh-huh.
But I still didn't have everything. Like, I didn't have the shoulder pad things. I didn't have the gloves. I mean, I just had very basic things, and one lady was critiquing me on it. And I was like, thanks. I'm like, this is my first time ever. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
They've gotten a lot better, especially, like, seeing, like, the street clothes Ash Ketchum 1 year, the costume contest. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they don't allow that anymore.
No. I took a really cool picture this year of this girl was in a wolf costume, and actually, when she went down, she actually looked like an animal. Wolf. It was really cool. It kind of freaked a couple of people out, which was really entertaining when I was taking the picture.
It was essentially a wolf pelt that she had
on
her back.
Yeah, it was just a pelt, and she just, yeah.
Yeah, when she got down on her hands and knees, it would cover her up completely, and it looked like there was a wolf sitting in the middle.
Okay,
standing
I was wondering who was up with that one. I was like, there must be a person wearing that. Was uh-huh. that yeah, as I was looking through the pictures.
That was I think that was my favorite costume of the con.
It was one of the more inventive ones, yeah. I thought. So simple, but...
And that kind of beats out the... I think it was a Pokemon that won the costume contest. That girl went all out. Her costume was awesome.
I saw it on DeviantArt. I don't remember.
Nice glow.
I don't remember what it was. What it was called either.
It's one of the new Pokemon. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know my Pokemon anymore. There's not 151, which were easy to remember. We're up to 600 and something, and I have no idea now.
I do find it entertaining. I saw this thing online the other day. It's like, Pokemon, hide in knee-high grass to avoid confrontation. Stand the size of a minivan. walking through knee-high grass. You have encountered a Pokemon. It's the size of a building! How was it hiding in the grass? It's the building! Go, Pikachu!
The one funny one that I saw was, you know, Pokemon, there's 151, collect them all, yay! And it's like, Pokemon, there's like 680? I have to collect them all.
That's a lot of Pokeballs.
That's how I kind of feel now. I'm like, I want to play Pokemon again, but do I really want to collect almost 1,000 Pokemon at this point?
I just got really irritated where one of the newer ones where you could grow berries that you can make them potions and stuff for your Pokemon. But they follow more like the Animal Crossing rules of growing things rather than the Harvest Moon rules, where, you know, Harvest Moon basically time stops when you turn off the game. And, you know, Animal Crossing, it keeps going.
You go back to your town, it's overtaken by weeds, and all your friends are leaving because they're like, where have you been for 6 months? You're like, I had a life! It's outside of the game!
You left us. You took over. Nothing's been good since then. Tom Nook took over. He's crazy, man.
And then there was, let's see, I think in the GameCube version, if you reset, then you got lectured by Resetti the Mole.
Resetti lectures you in any version. I did it by accident one time on my Game Boy. I wasn't trying to, but I was doing something and juggling my Game Boy, and I hit the power, and I was like, oh no! So I turned back on, and I got a lecture from Mr. Resetti. I'm like, I wasn't trying to. I accidentally shut it off. or my battery died. It was one or the other, and I can't remember what. And he gave me a lecture for it. Nice. It's like, you can't reset real life. I'm like, well, sometimes I wish I could.
It's like, I don't like how that choice I made.
Beep.
Last save point.
That'd be nice in some decisions. I don't really have a con moment or, like, thing.
I'm trying to think if there's one point where I was just, like, giddy with excitement, and I can't think of anything right now.
I think for me that was opening ceremonies, because it was just full of energy and excitement, and
I was just amazed how many people that was their first con.
Yeah!
I know, it's like, so many people's his first con. 3/4 of the frickin' room? Seriously?
But then again, you have to think about it, we're in the older demographic, a lot of them are 15, 18, and they weren't allowed to go in the last couple of years, because they didn't have money,
and I don't have an official count on how many people went to the con, but turnstile, so if you add all 3 days attendance together, they're estimating around 22,000.
Yeah, that's why they put the cap on it this year.
That's
totally feels like
not quite the cap, isn't it?
22,500 is the cap if you count every day, because every day they're supposed to sell 7,500 badges, and that includes pre-registers, which are for the whole weekend, and then weekend badges that they sell, or just day passes that they sell. I know Saturday, walking by to the Magical Girl thing, the line for just that day's registration was long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that. That was insane.
I think that rivaled the dealer's room for line of the day.
Dealer's room. Glad to see lots of booths coming back every year. Great. I feel like I spend less every year, though, in the dealer's room.
Yeah, I've noticed that myself. I think it's because I used to always buy anime DVDs there, but usually I can just find them cheaper or quicker at, like, Amazon or something still.
I think that was kind of good this year, though. I give props to Anime Depot for having a lot of old-school stuff that is out of print that they basically somehow were able to scrounge or dig out of their vault or something and said, why did we have, like, these two copies of this and took it there? Because we found some animes that just don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Such as Golden Boy.
Which we actually watched. It's a little bit
fan servicey?
A little bit fan servicey, but it's actually very interesting.
Yeah, it's OVA. It's it's very, very fan servicey throughout the entire thing. But the guy actually has a very hidden part of him that
impacts people in a very profound, great manner.
Yeah, in a very positive way. It's like, it looks like he's just a complete screw up in every fashion of his life. But then you start finding out, wow, this guy's actually kind of a
Golden genius. Boy. Yeah, he actually knows how to do things. though his toilet fetish scares me.
Yes.
What? He basically
almost any of his jobs, he ends up
having to clean
toilets. But then he, like, is infatuated with, like, the girl. But he's like, this is the toilet that she uses. And he starts, like, hugging it and... Yeah.
It's a little...
And then they inevitably walk in and he's like, oh, I was just...
Because that's just freaky. That's freaky.
Yeah.
Okay, other than that,
But it's actually a rather interesting series overall, I felt.
Then Bot Slayer's OVA complete collection. There's actually 3 more that I never knew existed. The only problem was they're not quite as funny as the one from Book of Spells release, which is kind of sad. But they did have some good, like, interviews with the voice actresses and such. And now I have to see if the lady who does Naga also does Nama from Evolution R.
It's great.
Yeah. Well, because part of the thing is if you've seen Evolution R, there's a new character introduced named Nama, who's basically a suit of living armor. But she thinks her name's Nama, but she's not for sure. And Lena keeps getting the distinct impression that she knows her. And I'm like, I think it's supposed to be Naga, but you never know, because her soul eventually gets returned to its body, but you never get to see the body.
The body is just like, in a box of peaches or something.
Tangerines.
That's right.
And but the laugh and everything is Naga, so it's
like...
Oh, and
even, like, the pose, like, the laughing pose.
Yeah. But... You know, the laughing pose and everything. So it's just like, is it or is it not? You're left to wonder.
It probably is.
I'm going to say it is, just to, you know, it'll make
it gave
happier.
People that little nod.
Yeah.
So, if you're in Denver in time for NDK next year, I highly advise you go. It's a worthwhile experience.
I enjoy going. I feel like I have no other con to compare it to, because I've never been to another con, but mostly it's like, I can't afford to go to another con.
We can't afford to keep going out of state.
No.
Because there's the whole out-of-state thing, and the hotel costs, and then I have to buy all my food, and that just adds up.
Yeah, and if you do come next year, make sure you have plenty of water and plenty of, like, little snacks.
And remember, if you're of aging and you like to drink, remember, you are if you're coming from, say, sea level, you have now become a very cheap date.
You're at altitude, buddy!
Anywho,
don't think it does affect you, but trust us, after moving back from New Zealand to here in the middle of summer, oh my goodness.
I nearly died. Literally.
Yeah. He had quite the heat stroke issue.
And high altitude sickness. It is a real thing, people. Give your time, at least you're coming in September, which normally has at least slightly cooler temperatures.
Normally. This year it was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. To me, it feels like September hit and somebody flipped the switch and it's like, it's autumn now.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. I was thinking that a little while ago. I was like, I'm kind of chilly.
So, should we move on to another thing for about 10 minutes since we were about at the hour mark?
We'll move on from our con experience. Positive con experience. There's always those few things that detract you, like people stopping in the middle of the hallway as you're trying to walk through. People not going off to the sides as you're trying to get through places.
The hotel running out of twin bedrooms.
People with disturbing costumes and or bronies.
Mostly bronies.
The bronies.
And Mansty.
Yeah, Mansty is kind of scary.
Mansty was very scary.
Yeah, I'm trying to
walk back. By the way, it's a portmanteau of Man and Misty, as in the Pokemon character.
We'll let you imagine that, because I don't want to describe it. I wish I never saw it. So, thank you,
Mansky.
I'm going to move on to video games, then.
Yes.
Our review of Deus Ex Human Revolution is up. Overall, it's a very positive review. I only had a few negative things overall to say about it, and it mainly had to do about the voice acting, which actually, talking to the voice actors, it makes perfect sense why video game voice acting can sound so wooden. Basically, I asked them, like, so what's the difference between anime acting and video game acting? Like, well, with the video games, usually we're not given a motivation, we're just given a list of lines, and we're to spit them off as fast as we can.
Because the script is, like, gigantic compared to what you do in a normal anime episode or over the course of an anime series. And they're, like, a lot of times they're, like, you don't have no context of where you're reading these lines, but you have to do them, and you have a very short schedule to get this done. Because they're trying to localize and get it out really fast because they just brought it over. So you're, like, reading thousands and thousands of lines. And I'm like, okay, that explains so much.
Yeah, that explains why we still get such wooden voice acting from some video games.
I just want to know if Christian Bale did his voice because it sounds like him.
Like in this case, Deus Ex. Because while I enjoyed the game and the story was actually rather interesting, whenever you're talking to Seraph, the main character's boss, I have a hard time taking that man seriously. It's like, we're in this major disaster and I cannot take the way he talks seriously.
We're in crisis, sir! It's a pleasant day today, isn't it?
Well, it's like he puts unnecessary inflections on everything he says.
Ah, that doesn't help either.
Anywho, but overall, the game's real good. Go ahead and read our review. It's on the site. And yeah. And then hopefully we'll have a Gears 3 review, usually our normal pattern, a week or two after it comes out, since we're not special to get advanced copies yet.
We're normal scrubs. Normal scrubs here, people.
And then let's see. Then we got, let's see. Resistance 3 has already come out, and I need to play that. We've got Drake's Uncharted 3 coming out here soon.
I didn't play the game, but I knew who you were talking about.
And we got Batman Arkham City coming out soon, which looks really good. I guess you get to play as Batman, Robin, and Catwoman.
Hmm.
And then we have the game that the majority of us are looking forward to, I think all of us maybe, the new Zelda Skyward Sword.
Pre-ordered. Thank you, Amazon. So, I get shipped to my door. I don't have to go out anywhere.
Going out doesn't bug me because I just go on the way home.
I don't like to go out unless I have to.
So, yeah, lots of games coming out this fall. If you noticed Irish Pride's conversations with Irish Pride, the last one he did was about 2 weeks ago at this point. He mentioned that he wants about half the games and it's going to cost him about $1,400.
If you bought all of them when they came out. I want 5. And I feel bad just for the 5 I want. Well, one of them is Zelda, and Zelda has been pre-ordered. I will pay for that later. Hopefully I'll have a job by November, so that doesn't bother me so much. And I don't have a Wii Motion Plus remote anyway, so that's why I did the bundle order. I've also learned that apparently they went up from 16th for the most pre-ordered game based on sales from November of last year to present time to 8th within a week.
Pre-order bonuses and a release date really help with that.
Yeah. And it has, like, and they gave, like, information for, like, almost all the regions around the world. Like, Europe is the, when does it come out here again? The 20th?
November 20th.
Europe is the 19th. The U.S. is the 20th. But Japan's the 23rd. I found that kind of odd that it comes out later in Japan than it does every place else.
That never happens.
But Australia hasn't had complete confirmation of when it's coming out and what the price is.
That's because Australia sucks when it comes to video games.
Censorship board!
Yeah. And this Zelda doesn't have the teen rating of Twilight Princess, but it does have E plus, 10 plus.
Hmm.
For fantasy, violence, comical, I forget what they, it has blood, but it's it's not like graphic blood and gore. It's like sort of like implied blood or something. I forget. There's sometimes weird categories. I'm like, does this exist? Like playing Harvest Moon has use of alcohol as one of the reasons why it's E10 plus sometimes.
What?
Because you go to the bar, you can buy a drink, and you can sometimes get your character drunk. Then nothing happens to them, but you can get them drunk, and you gotta explain.
I thought that Harvest Moon always just had like juice. It's like red juice. Blue juice!
That juice is kind of strong.
It's Kool-Aid mixed with something.
And I just remembered, I forgot that we were going to do a contest for the anime.
Well, we could go back to it. We're still recording.
We are. So, people, send us an email to mail@thegameslave.com with, let's go with your favorite con, your favorite con moment of any convention you've ever been to.
Let's make this a positive con moment. Let's not make it the people where it's like, what's your worst convention moment ever or your worst fan? And people are like, we're being recorded. We want to say it and hurt this person's feelings later.
So yeah, let's go.
There are some interesting people. I guess I won't share it, but there were some couple people that were at this con that kind of scared me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and go with what's your best con moment. The one that we do agree is the best. We'll go ahead and give you the volume 1 of Please Twins anime. I believe there's 4 episodes on that disc.
4 or 5. It's very, very good if you haven't seen it. I like it.
Is this like a sequel to Please Teacher? Or
yes.
Something?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's not so much a sequel, but it's set in the same world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I think it's even in the same town because they go to, because she's their teacher.
Yeah.
They don't focus on that. And the only character that regularly makes appearances from the original one is the little robot computer thingy.
I'll take your word for it because I haven't seen either, so.
Cute annoying mascot. But it doesn't talk.
They can't die, can they?
No. So that is the only thing that, I mean, it's the same kind of world, same town, but it's still kind of a good anime.
Yeah, I liked it. But then again, I like cutesy animes, so.
So yeah, again, send an email to mail@thegameslave.com with your best con moment, and we'll go ahead and put you in the running for that DVD. If we end up having multiples that we agree that are really nice, we'll come up with some new prizes, and we will make decisions based off of there.
We have bags! Lots and lots of bags! I might get rid of some of my bags.
So anywho, that's all I have. How about you guys? Alright, so they gave me thumbs up. I'm going to assume that means yes, we're done. Go ahead and visit us at www.thegameslave.com. Here you can find our store, which has some new products in it. The great Zelda Queen recently redoing some of her artwork. We also have...
D20.
You can go ahead and also comment on any of our podcasts or other articles that we've written. And in the meantime, you all have a great week and game on!
Game on!
Game on!